Devin, if you could come.
Well, I don't have any notes, so you'll know I'm not cheating. I guess I'll just start at the beginning. So when I was a little kid, we were going to a Catholic church, and I was going to the school right across the parking lot from it. And I was baptized there at the age of about 7 or 8, I think. And at the time of my baptism, I think it'd be reasonable to say I had a knowledge of God and some of his attributes, including his Trinitarian nature. But I didn't really have faith in Christ as my personal Savior at that point, which, according to our tradition, means I wasn't quite qualified to be baptized. But I was learning some stuff. And then after my brother's funeral was held there, my dad never wanted to go back. We'd moved to Lee Summit just prior to that, and we started attending a Methodist church there. And that was actually quite a blessing. I started to just continue to increase in knowledge, but I wasn't really in a youth group or anything like that. And the huge church size made it to where I didn't feel like I could just go around asking questions. And so I had these unanswered questions, and it bothered me, but I didn't know what to do about it exactly. But I guess the point where I actually became a Christian, I stayed overnight with my grandparents on my mom's side, and they had a Bible in their room. I started reading Matthew, and I got to chapter 5 and was reading the Beatitudes. And we were just covering that this summer in this church, so you guys know about that, of course. And the way he puts it, I think, is these are guidelines for living in the kingdom. And as I read these, I had a conviction that that's not the way I was living. And it bothered me, but I knew I wanted to follow Christ. And it was a couple months after that, my grandparents and my mom and myself went to see an evangelist in this Sprint Center. And it was a pretty big deal, like, as far as the amount of people going. And I think there came an invitation to profess faith. I took the invitation. And there had been some sort of explanation of the gospel, which was that although I had this conviction that I wasn't living according to the rules of the kingdom, Christ had, and as 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it, for our sake he who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God. And I understood that at that point. And so following that, we were still in the Methodist church until I was about 16. And I kept learning stuff, but anyway, I just sort of forgotten about the questions I had. And then moved to Colorado. We were in a couple of non-denominational churches, and I was actually getting into groups at that point, but I had forgotten what my questions were. Then when I was in college, I got invited to Reformed Baptist Church of Northern Colorado and got some of my questions answered without having to ask. I was like, what is this? And, you know, met a group of people that shared a passion for actually studying theology and who were Christians, but who also had the same mindset as me. And it was so refreshing. I didn't know a place like that existed. And so I started going there for a while. And then I had this thing from, say, about March of 2017 to October of 2018, where I sort of fell away from the faith. This is not a period of open rebellion, but more of a quiet, cold indifference and a lack of pursuing the Lord. And he woke me up at the end of it, after about a year and a half, and just sort of made me aware of how far I had gone, and that the things that I had gained while in the faith, I was in danger of losing. And I knew I was not where I should be, and he pulled me back, and my faith was restored at that point. And that was in October. So then in January of last year, I became an official member of that church. The next day, I wrote a letter to Pastor Nish advising him that I was going to be visiting this church in March, and which I did. And then, as you know, I was here during the summer, too. And then I returned to my church in Colorado for another about 5 months or so while I finished my degree. And, of course, I was still learning solid doctrine, but there were some things missing. The things I missed most about this church were Wednesday night meetings, having a potluck every week, and saying amen at the ends of hymns. And obviously the third one's a little different, but as for the first two, it pertains to just the notion of fellowship. And the Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation, and a group like this that actually cares about spending time together and building each other up in a biblical way is very alluring, and that's why I'm petitioning for membership now.
Thank you, brother. All those were members in favor of receiving our dear brother Devin into membership in our church family, please give a hearty amen.
Amen. Amen.
Normally when we have a baptism, we have a sermon on baptism because it's that important. It's still important, but with all of the accessories to today's worship, there's really not time. It doesn't fit. So I would at least like to have your eyes be on the inside of your bulletin where there's seven significant symbols of what we believe believers' baptism represents. And I won't read through everything as far as the scripture. We have this at every baptism, but there's significant things. The first thing is when you see Devin being baptized, being put in the water and brought back out, it certainly represents the washing away of sin. That's usually what most people think of. In fact, in the early church, it was repent and be baptized. It was so much associated with the remission of sins that you would say it in the same breath. Baptism doesn't save you, but it was associated with the washing away of sins. The second point there is that baptism represents spiritual baptism into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When you see Devin being plunged into the water, it's representative of him dying to sin in Christ, being buried, which means he's really, really dead to sin in Christ and identified with Christ, and then raised up out of the water. It's the raising up to newness of life and the new life that only Christ can give. And that represents then the fifth point, spiritual baptism into Christ. And perhaps the most important symbol of baptism is it shows that the believer, the new believer, is now united with and identified with Christ. I am his. He is mine. And I'm going to represent him and love him and pursue him for the rest of my life. I'm identified with him. The immersion into Christ is what the immersion into the water actually represents, maybe most of all. The sixth point, that baptism represents spiritual baptism into the body of Christ. And we see that especially in 1 Corinthians 12, that when one is baptized, that person is then charged to be joining a local church and be active and be immersed in the local church. But that person is then baptized into the universal church as well, and it represents then being baptized into the body of Christ. And then lastly, which is sometimes not seen, but especially we can see it in Jesus' prayer in John 17, baptism represents spiritual baptism into the triune Godhead, which is kind of a mystical thing, but you're baptized into communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's more than just remission of sins, which that's a wonderful thing, but it's more of a full picture than even that. And so as we do baptize Devin, I want you to see that and think about those things as well. This is a picture of the gospel, a picture of salvation, a joy to the Christian, and then prayerfully a conviction and a warning and an exhortation to the non-Christian to come to the same Christ. This is Devin Haugh. You have heard his testimony. I'm going to ask some questions to Devin so he can then profess his faith before he's baptized. Devin, do you believe that you are a sinner and have fallen short of the glory of Holy God?
Yes.
Do you believe that there's nothing you can do to pay for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Christ and his perfect work on the cross is the only hope for salvation?
Yes.
Have you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation?
Yes.
Are you willing to confess before God and men that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you pledge to give yourself unto God through Jesus Christ and to live and to walk in the newness of life he has given you? Do you desire to be a useful and functioning member of the local church to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
And do you now proclaim your love for Christ, identifying yourself with him and identifying yourself with his people in his death, burial, and resurrection by water baptism?
Yes.
If you could turn this way. Devin, on the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death.
raised to walk in newness of life.